May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I launch in, I want to take this opportunity to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So sing the lyrics of the old song. In recent years, that has been adopted by the advertising networks to celebrate back to school days, but it really is about Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year, not because of stockings and stuffing or Boxing Day sales, and this year it may not feel like the most wonderful time of the year, but it still is. It still is because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is the awesome mystery of God humbling himself, God of God, light of light, stooping down to take our very nature upon him so that we can be raised into the very nature and mystery of God. Our Christmas is no less Christmas, and our joy is no less joyful because we are keeping Christmas with a very dark and troubled world around us. So writes Archbishop Michael Ramsay many years ago. We cannot banish from our minds the miseries in the poorer countries, the continuing griefs of political and racial strife, the many in the world who are without homes or without food, the many who are lonely and without friends to cheer them. Our rejoicing at Christmas is not an escape from life's grim realities into a fancy realm of religion and festivity. Rather, is it a joy that as we face and feel the world's tragedy, we know that God has an answer for mankind to receive. In a word, this is a time of hope. Christmas says Christ has taken humanity to himself. And so every man and woman and child in the world is lovable and infinitely precious. And in response, men and women can treat one another, whatever their race or color, in the light of Bethlehem. Or they can, in rejecting the human dignity of their fellows, reject their own dignity too. Just as we begin to get comfortable with the baby in the manger and his cries and all the responsibility and the joy that comes with a newborn, the church calendar throws us yet another curveball. Today is the feast of St. Stephen. Perhaps we just associate it with good King Wenceslas making his way across a bed of new-fallen snow. But today, just one day after the Christmas feast, we celebrate Stephen as the first Christian martyr. Right into the heart of our celebration comes the fact that the incarnation makes awesome demands, requiring our all, the sacrifice of the whole person, body, mind, and soul. Stephen appears in the book of Acts when the church at Jerusalem was experiencing internal troubles. Its membership was drawn from two groups of Jewish people, those who were native Palestinians and those who belonged to the dispersion, the wider group that had been taken from their homeland or those who had traveled abroad. Because this group consisted of Jews who had been born and raised in other lands, their native tongue was Greek. Thus, they were known as Hellenists. As you can imagine, rivalry between these two groups had been a feature of Jewish life for a very long time. The converts to Christ brought this rivalry with them when they entered the church. It made the Greek-speaking members quick to complain about people being treated unfairly. One notable concern was that their widows were not getting a fair share of the community's food and financial support. To try to resolve the problem, the leaders of the church, the apostles, well, they had to step in and make some tough decisions. They appointed seven of the Hellenists to administer the church's resources and to care for its poor. Stephen, described as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, was one of those seven. Set apart by prayer and the laying on of hands, he became the first to do what the church considers to be the work of a deacon, from the word diakonos, meaning servant. Stephen's activities involved more than administrative duties, for the book of Acts speaks of his preaching the gospel and performing many miracles. These activities brought him into conflict with others who shared his own Greek-speaking background. They accused him of blasphemy and hauled him before the council which enforced the law of Moses. Stephen gave a powerful speech denouncing the whole assembly because of their refusal to accept Jesus Christ, revealed their disobedience to God. So enraged by his words, his audience dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death. But just before he died under a hailstorm of stones, Stephen prayed that Jesus would receive his spirit and forgive his murderers. And so he became the first Christian martyr, not only because he died for his witness to Christ, but also because he bore witness to God's will that all, even our worst enemies, may know the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And so it is in St. Stephen that we see the extraordinary activity of the Incarnation. And with that, we see the work and the life of the Holy Trinity. He stands out not just as a faithful servant and witness, but through it as one who begs forgiveness for his enemies. And that seed of forgiveness always leads to new life, to conversion, like a tree blossoming in the desert. And the new life of that tree in the desert leads to the fruit of faith, that very thing that nourishes and sustains us. And the fruit of faith leads right back to the seed of forgiveness. And so that incarnational life continues in one continuous circular movement to transform and redeem all of life, indeed all of creation. And we see something of the same pattern in the gospel reading for today. We have a rare glimpse into the adolescent life of our Lord as he goes to the temple with his parents at 12 years of age. It was the custom to do that at the various festivals that marked the year. His parents head home and they realize he is not with them. They go back and find him in the temple, listening and asking questions and astounding all who were with him. And so here we see in Jesus knowledge, wisdom, understanding. He gives to us by grace through that knowledge and that wisdom and that understanding, forgiveness, conversion, and faith. That is the very life of the incarnate Word among us, the one who comes to us and abides with us. That is the life of God in us, and that is the glory we behold in this most wonderful time of the year. O God, we give you thanks for the witness and faith of your servant Stephen. We pray that your incarnate word may so take root in us that we may grow more and more into your likeness, walk with you in this life, and by your mercy, come to your everlasting kingdom. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.